some other members will join. We are recording today's meeting as we usually do, especially for those SHAC members and anyone else who's interested in the work of the SHAC. These recordings are made available on the VINA GSA website, so we'll make sure that we do post it after the meeting. And for those of you who are not SHAC members, you can open up your participant tab on your main toolbar, and we've named the SHAC members. You can see an asterisk next to their name, as well as they're named as SHAC members, so you can see who they are. And today we have seven SHAC members out of 10 with us. We're missing Ann Dawson, Sam Gepp, and Cherie Chastain, who may join us a bit late. She let us know that she's in another meeting. So again, good afternoon, everyone. Let's go ahead and look at the agenda. We are here for a focused special meeting today to discuss interbasin coordination. And Mariana, could you pull up the agenda? If you're not able to do that, just let me know and I can go get it.
Yeah, I can put it up. One.
Thank you. Okay, so we will be taking a few moments after we do the agenda review. We will see if there are any public comments for items that are not on today's agenda and that pertain to the work of the VINA GSA Stakeholder Advisory Committee. Today's focused discussion is on interbasin coordination. We're going to be looking at getting an overview of the framework that came out in that published report that CBI developed in coordination with staff from across the region. And we're looking for the SHAC's input on recommendations for interbasin coordination priorities. And then we'll see if there are any VINA GSA Management Committee reports, anything that's sort of critical to report to the SHAC today. And then we'll just see where the discussion lands. We'll discuss sort of what the meeting outcomes were, and then we'll make sure that we know where we're going by looking at the upcoming meetings. Just a note that the meeting schedule is attached to the agenda, and we do update it, and you notice that there is version control. We do make sure that it is up to date so that you can have the most relevant information at your fingertips. Okay, going back to the top of the agenda, let's just see if there are any public comments. This is both for SHAC and members of the public who are joining today, who may have some comments for items that aren't on today's agenda. If you could just use your hand raise function, and that's under your reactions tab on your main toolbar, we'd appreciate it. Okay, I'm not seeing any hands. So no public comment for items not on today's agenda. So let's swiftly go to our main topic today on interbasin coordination. And I will hand this off to Christina Buck, the acting director of the Butte County Department of Water and Resource Conservation, for you to frame this up, Christina.
Great, thanks. Can you hear me okay? Yeah. Okay, so yeah, good afternoon. Again, thanks for taking the time. I'm glad we kind of peeled this off and have a good chunk of time to discuss this really important topic of interbasin coordination. As you know, it's been ongoing, but has kind of morphed and changed over time. Okay, can you see just the presentation mode?
Yep. Yeah.
So the report is out. Essentially what's been happening, as you will recall, is early on we recognize, right, the need for interbasin coordination, that our subbasins, VINA subbasin, is a part of the larger Sacramento Valley groundwater basin. And so sharing information and coordinating to the extent possible during GSP development would be a benefit to all of our subbasins and GSPs. But really, you know, recognizing that SGMA is a long-term planning process and long-term management process of successfully managing groundwater sustainably, interbasin coordination is a long-term process too. So our goal today, so out of those regional conversations that happened at the staff level, but then were brought back, you know, for updates at various advisory committees, including the SHAC throughout the region, as well as, you know, updates to the boards, GSA boards throughout the region. The result of those conversations was this framework report that's available. It was in the meeting packet materials, the link there, and it's linked to the interbasin coordination page, which Butte County has put together, you know, for the region, that has a number of the website has links to all of the different GSP and sub-basins. So if you want kind of up-to-date activity on GSP development, that's really the best place to go is to the source, because as you know, things are changing all the time. And so that's where this report is also posted, is on that interbasin coordination website. So today what we're looking to do, that report documents not only kind of where we've come from in terms of, you know, conversations that have happened over the last year and a half, but what pillars or kind of main points or activities interbasin coordination might look like, both really in the short term, you know, immediately after adoption of our GSPs in the next 5 years, and then long term, you know, as we continue to just implement SGMA. So what we want to think about, and hopefully you had a chance to review that report, but now we're going to really tailor it and think about it, you know, with our VINA sub-basin hat on, and look at what those options were that the region talked about, and representatives, you know, that were coming from each of their sub-basins. And now what we're looking to do, you know, for you as the stakeholder advisory committee, for the VINA sub-basin, is to provide recommendations and input on what you want to see in the implementation chapter of the VINA GSP. So recognizing that, you know, we can kind of put forward what our intentions are as a sub-basin, and much of that will then, you know, require us going to our neighbors and saying, hey, this is really what we want to do, and what the nature of our interbasin coordination with you we think should look like. And that becomes an ongoing conversation, right? It takes two or more to really do this interbasin coordination. So that's what we're looking for today, again, is receiving your input and recommendations and discussion on these pillars and which of them should be included or especially emphasized in the draft GSP description. And we can modify and refine them. So you'll see in the slides that there's kind of, I took a stab at just kind of drafting up draft recommendations that just gives you something to jump off of and really discuss and modify, and provide recommendations to the VINA GSA board for their consideration, to influence, you know, how this is described again in the implementation chapter of the GSP. Do you want to add anything, Tanya or Mariana, to kind of frame this up?
No, you did an excellent job, Christina, and thank you for that. But let's pause here for a second to see if there are any questions among the SHAC members, what we're doing today. Any questions about the framing that Christina just represented before we jump in? Okay, Christina, go ahead.
Wait. This is Jim.
Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, sorry, Jim.
You know, there were so many documents and links to documents on this, and I tried to review them all, but I can't recall seeing a specific page that said, okay, here are the suggested so-called pillars. Is that coming up? Is that something I missed?
So it's in, go ahead.
It is in the report that is linked there. And yes, we will be giving an overview of the pillars today. And you can see here's the report. This is what it looks like. It's linked. It was linked to the agenda. And we will be getting providing an overview of those pillars today, Jim.
Yep.
Okay. I look forward to asking some questions as we move forward, but I will hold my questions for now.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, sounds great. Okay, so VINA sub-basin, you're familiar with it, right? Goes to the the county line between Butte County and Tehama County in the north follows the Glenn County, Butte County line, which is mostly coincident with the Sacramento River on the west, and then peels up along M&T Ranch and down to Western Canal Water District in the south, their boundary, and then up the east side, which was the defined Bulletin 118 edge of the subbasin. So, you know, here we are in the broader context, Vina, we have a number of neighbors, right? Los Molinos subbasin to the north, Corning subbasin, and actually just the Corning subbasin to the west on the other side of the Sacramento River. But the Sacramento River continues south, and then the Colusa and Butte subbasins are neighbors. And then to our south, our southern neighbor is the Butte subbasin. So we really have three direct neighbors. I think we share a tiny little sliver with Wyandotte Creek, but I would not really consider that a connected boundary that we need to focus on, really. So we have three direct neighbors, Los Molinos, Corning, and the Butte subbasin. So one of the things that's presented in the report, and as I think about subbasins in the Sac Valley and in the part, you know, the broader Sacramento groundwater basin, there are certain groupings of subbasins that will also have some shared issues or topics that it might be helpful to coordinate on. And so many of those center around river systems. So for us in the Vina subbasin, this group is identified in that framework report called the North Sac River Corridor. And so that goes up to Antelope subbasin, and it's basically the subbasins along the Sacramento River north of the Sutter Buttes. So Antelope, Red Bluff, Los Molinos, Corning, Vina, Colusa, and Butte, recognizing that, you know, how there may be some specific topics that it would be helpful to either at least share information specifically on or coordinate and take similar approaches on. As an example, groundwater dependent ecosystems along the Sacramento River has been a topic that the consultants and staff along this river have compared notes on a bit. And so things like that, as well as stream interaction, you know, thinking long-term about implementing SGMA and recognizing the Sacramento River, you know, is not only a boundary, but also pretty important for stream groundwater interaction topic. That may be another driver, you know, for this kind of larger group to have conversations and potentially decide to coordinate and share a common approach on certain topics. So that's the North Sac River Corridor group. That's what we're talking about when we refer to that group. Okay, so here's the snipped out of the report. This is the snapshot of the pillars that are described in the report. So there's five main pillars, and then there's sub bullets, as you can see. And then there's discussion in the report about, you know, what scale these different things may occur at, these activities could occur at, and then also the timing, whether it's, you know, ongoing, near term, which is considered to be kind of within the 5-year update timeframe, and long term, which is essentially, you know, in the 20-year timeframe of GSP implementation. So we'll go through each of these one by one. And again, really from the perspective of the Vina subbasin and thinking about Vina subbasin in relation to our neighbors and specifically kind of that North Sac River Corridor group. I forget, Tanya, did you want to say anything else about kind of an overview of the pillars before we just dive into pillar number one for more detailed discussion?
I think that it will probably be helpful to just take them one by one, but it's just, I think, important for everyone to see them all together to realize that we will be getting to all of these, right? And so the pillars being information sharing, joint analysis and evaluation, coordination on mutually beneficial activities, coordinated communication outreach, and issue resolution. And so just know that if we're talking about information sharing and you've got issue resolution on your mind, know that we'll just be getting to it. So I think that's all I would say there.
Yeah, great. Yeah, that's really helpful. Okay, so let's dive into pillar number one is information sharing. And this is really, I'll just go through kind of the sub bullets of what we're talking about here. It involves informing each other on change conditions, right? Whether they're surface water cutbacks, land use changes, policy changes that inform groundwater management. So a lot of this communication and information sharing happens already through working relationships between staff or through the integrated regional water management group and TAC meetings. So this is not, you know, a kind of a new idea for our region. That's the good news. But it would, you know, it's saying that this is important in the context of SGMA to continue these things. And this is, these are some of the information items that it could include. Under B there, you see share annual reports and interim progress reports, and share data and technical information and work towards building shared data across and along basin boundaries. So that could include monitoring data. It could include, you know, methods or development of water budgets, modeling inputs and outputs, and groundwater dependent ecosystems as examples. So again, from the VINA perspective, I would say as staff kind of recommendation, this is relevant, I think, to all of our neighboring subbasins. And so the recommendation for kind of how to discuss this in the GSP could be VINA subbasin will work with GSA staff of neighboring subbasins to identify lines of communication and methods for information sharing. So that could be, you know, also describing in the long run, that means we talk about, you know, how, what advisory committees they have, what advisory committees and board structures we have, and what are the proper ways to share this type of information, so that, you know, if change conditions are occurring or if there's something that needs more coordination, there are mechanisms for that type of information sharing. Mm-hmm. So I'll just pause there.
Thanks, Christina. Bruce Smith, go ahead.
On 1C, where it talks about groundwater dependent ecosystems, at this point, aren't those potential groundwater dependent ecosystems? Because the last time that I heard anything, if it's DWR that decides their potential, they haven't really been defined yet. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. For the VINA subbasin, we've labeled them as likely GDEs and not likely, and recognizing that really in most cases they may need some additional characterization in the long run and data gap, you know, associated with shallow monitoring, all of that. But it's been handled a little bit differently in different subbasins. So, you know, as we go forward, after we have these adopted GSPs, we'd be in a better place to be able to really see, okay, how did we document it in VINA and how did our neighbors, and then what kind of coordination might we pursue, if any?
So there are some areas that have, they're no longer potential, they're actually documented.
I mean, maybe, I don't know enough to speak to that in terms of how Corning or Calusa, if they've been more definitive. I don't know if Tanya or Mariana can speak to that, but.
Okay.
No, the one thing I would say is that I think overall with, throughout the region, this GDEs are sort of identified as something of a data gap, right? That there's more work to do to understand where the GDEs are and what might be sort of the implications. So I do think that there's a consistency in the other conversations that I've been a part of, and Tehama and Corning, related to GDEs. But I can't be more specific about, you know, how they're going to be talking about them in their GSPs at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Bruce. Okay, so here is the recommendation that, again, we're seeking the SHAC's thoughts on, and these are proposed recommendations. It's something so we could have a jumping off point, right, as Christina said. So feel free to, if you're comfortable with the way that this recommendation is articulated, please let us know and confirm that. If you have some other suggested recommendations that you'd like to forward to the VINA GSA board related to information sharing for interbasin coordination. We'd like to hear that as well. And remember what these recommendations are for. It's for what basically you're recommending should appear in the implementation chapter of the GSP related to this item.
Right.
Yes, I think that also the second pillar deals with this as well. But during the initial stages, during the initial meetings, sub-basin staff acknowledged that model outputs may not match perfectly and that the main objective is to identify and acknowledge significant discrepancies and understand why these differences exist and evaluate to what extent they need to be reconciled. And significant discrepancies have been identified and brought forth in the past by SHAC members. So my question is, has the staff been able to identify these discrepancies, significant or otherwise, and put them forth in such a way that the SHAC can review them?
Yeah, so the question is, or the answer in short is no. I think that there's a couple things that are behind that. So the discrepancies have to do with, two things. There are different methodologies that are being used to estimate groundwater flow across the boundary. Mostly the discrepancy that you're talking about, Jim, has to do actually with the Colusa subbasin and the Butte subbasin boundary. So it's technically not super relevant to Vina directly, but it's still part of this broader conversation about interbasin coordination, you know, in the region and along the Sac River corridor group, certainly. But we recognize the answer to that question at this point is, two different models are being used. One is a regional model being used by Colusa Groundwater or Colusa Basin. The Butte Subbasin, along with Vina and Wyandotte Creek, are using the Butte Basin Groundwater Model. It has strengths related to having a daily time step, smaller kind of calculation units. And so I think we can have more confidence in things related to stream groundwater interaction and some other pieces. But it has a pretty significant weakness, and that is that its boundary is also that western boundary, the Sacramento River, which is the boundary between those subbasins as well. So at this point, the answer to your question is we've identified that as being the reason that there's this discrepancy, and it's going to take more work to kind of run that to ground and tease that out. But as far as GSP development, it's not critical because we're not all really most of or all of our subbasins are hanging things more on measured groundwater conditions and monitoring data than on the numbers directly coming out of our models. We can say more, but I'll leave it there for now.
The reason it's important to me to really include the modeling is because of the David's engineering report that impacts to stream flow and to groundwater conditions associated with neighboring groundwater development can take years to occur. And it makes it difficult, first of all, to correlate them to the activity of the adjacent groundwater basin. But secondly, once the impacts do begin to occur, the longer they take to occur, the longer they take to be reconciled or to be ameliorated or to calm down. And direct groundwater monitoring doesn't account for these delayed impacts that has been so clear in the hydrologic information that I've read. So I definitely support groundwater monitoring. And though I'm not a modeler, I understand that it is one of our most important tools to identify what's going to happen in the next few years associated with groundwater extractions, especially to the west and south of us. And so that's why I think it's important to be able to meet the Act's strong suggestion that we assemble consistent and coordinated data and methodology for interbasin boundary flows and stream groundwater interactions at basin boundaries to help us confirm that no adverse impacts of implementing the GSPs will result to any party in these agreements.
That's why I want to be
well aware of what the discrepancies in the modelings are. I want to have a more clear idea what they are and how we plan to ameliorate those and to assemble consistent and coordinated methodology.
Yeah.
So that is related mostly to the second pillar. And so let me just say, because that's where you're heading here, Christina, and we can talk more about this as we're going through pillar number two. But before we do move on, I see that David and Bruce, you have your hand up. Is that related more to joint analysis and evaluation or specifically to information sharing? David?
My comment was on the recommendation itself. I like the recommendation. I just noticed that some of the other ones say VINA GSA staff, and this one says VINA subbasin. Just a point of clarification of who will be the people actually doing it.
Yeah, we can add staff in there, VINA GSA staff.
Just in case the structure of the agency changes over time or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for noting that inconsistency. David. Okay, any other SHAC members before we do move on to pillar number two? If you would like to see any changes to this recommendation, if you have questions for clarification related to just information sharing, and I know there's a lot of interest in joint analysis and evaluation, but just on this point, anything else? Okay, I'm not seeing any. I think we should go to pillar number two, Christina.
Okay, great. Yeah, so yeah, Jim, a lot of what you were saying is really what has motivated pillar number two. And I would agree that there's a work does need to be done and should be prioritized to figure out both kind of what the current modeling is saying and why, and then moving toward, identifying how to get more on the same page. So that's what this pillar is really about, joint analysis and evaluation. And so it has a couple components: evaluate and compare the contents of GSPs with a focus on establishing a common understanding of basin conditions at the boundaries. So that's really, a general way of addressing some of the things that you were talking about. Secondly, identify significant differences and uncertainties and potential issues of concern related to groundwater interaction at the boundaries. So that's also related. And then third, engage in analysis and evaluation of SMCs between GSPs, so that's sustainable management criteria, between the groundwater sustainability plans to assess impacts and identify significant differences and possible impacts between subbasins that could potentially lead to undesirable results. So there's kind of two different aspects to this. One is, taking a look at really the basin setting work of our different GSPs. We're all working very hard, our consultants are working very hard to put this GSP together, get it adopted, by the end of January. And once that dust settles, then we'll know what's in these plans and we'll be able to really take a look at how we put things together, what tools and models were used, what the water budgets are. And so that this project is really about that, about looking at both kind of the basin setting piece, but also recognizing, and like I mentioned before, that the sustainable management criteria in our subbasin and in our neighbors are largely hanging on monitoring data and looking at how have those been set? And if there's large discrepancies between, what levels we said we're going to manage to and what levels our neighboring subbasin said they're going to manage to, we want to be looking at that as well. So there's kind of those two aspects to this joint analysis and evaluation piece. So the recommendation from VINA, to describe this in our plan could be the VINA subbasin intends to pursue funding and collaboratively work with subbasins. Now here's the scale, the recommended scale in the North Sac River Corridor group, right? So a lot of the aspects here relate back to kind of river interaction. So we shouldn't just focus on our three neighbors, but probably want to think about it in a little bit broader term. So that's the North Sac River Corridor group. Here's what this probably would need. A, contracting with a consultant to conduct this work, because it is technical in nature. Evaluate and compare contents of the GSPs with a focus on establishing a common understanding of basin conditions at the boundary. So that came out of the pillar. Identify the significant differences that I just read that. That's from the pillar also. And engage in analysis and evaluation. So this would also, did I include? Okay, so at the top of it intends to pursue funding and collaboratively work with our subbasin. So we, you know, as the Vina subbasin, when we're thinking about implementation and what we're going to do and what kind of grants we're going to pursue, projects, you know, using grant money, this would be a project that we would pursue funding for to do this joint analysis and contract with the consultant to do the work. So I'll stop there and see if there's, you know, additional feedback, or is this about what you think we should say in our GSP, or be more specific or more general in different ways?
Bruce Smith.
I think your general idea is good. I think it needs to be emphasized, even though, for example, Colusa isn't our boundary. And in terms of, that's a boundary that's basically a surface boundary, an aerial view, because from what we know of the Tuscan Formation, Colusa, Corning, Butte, Vina, we're all connected. And I think it needs to be more emphasized. And you do talk about it some. I just think it means to be more distinct, that those connections, especially with the AEM study, and I'm guessing here because I don't have the map in front of me, that's some very high level technical information that's specifically, and I don't know if it crosses into Colusa and how much it goes into Corning, but that's some very high level information that I know Butte County and Stanford are all working to coordinate, but that needs to be brought up, that's specificity needs to be brought up more, I believe. Thanks.
Christina, any follow-up there? I think, so what I'm gathering here from what you've said, Bruce, is I think underlying the why this recommendation is that this pillar number two, joint analysis and evaluation, needs to really be occurring at this scale, right, of the North Sac River corridor, is because of many of the things that you just said, Bruce, right? There's even though we know that Colusa isn't an adjacent neighbor, it's important, and it's important for this to be a regional conversation. Anything else that you would say, Christina, to follow up on any of Bruce's comments there? And you're making some notes on the slide.
Yeah, I'm just adding some notes. And I think I'm trying to decide. I think it would be helpful to have formal recommendation, you know, type action from the SHAC, and maybe we go through all of them and decide how to do that, or if they want to provide a formal recommendation on each of the five pillars specifically, we can kind of play it by ear. But that's why I'm going to add this in here, so that if you want to include specific things in that recommendation, you could pull from comments that have been said.
Okay, David, thank you, Christina.
Just a question about the pursue funding. Is that targeted to be state funded, or perhaps like jointly funded throughout these North Sac River Corridor group, or is it just going to kind of let the board talk more about that?
Yeah, I think certainly it's left general, because I think it could go either way. I think one thing that Vina might want to decide is whether we get a partner in funding or not. Is this something that Vina really intends to do? Or, you know, is how contingent is this kind of on funding? Should I add grant funding in there to be more specific? I think my thought was pursue grant funding. And certainly that could be, you know, Vina on behalf of the group, or if the group says, you know what, we have other priorities, is it something that VINA does anyway? And we work, you know, collaboratively with the sub-basins, even though there's not direct, more direct partnership on funding. Does that make sense?
I guess what I'm getting at is this going to be in the projects and management actions, or is this sort of a separate thing?
So it's in the implementation chapter. So the implementation chapter has, in addition to projects and management actions, which are really geared toward fixing the problem in terms of, you know, achieving sustainability, implementation includes things like data gaps as well. So activities that we're going to do and need to fund, you know, to address data gaps. And then that's why this lands interbasin coordination, is activities and things that we're going to pursue and do as part of implementing this GSP. So it's going to be in the implementation chapter, not in projects and management actions.
Thank you.
One follow-up there, David, is that the reason that, so this framework is something that each of the sub-basins is taking to have these kinds of discussions, right, within their respective sub-basins. And many of them are going to be including the report, which has all of these pillars, as an appendix to their plan. So that one of the values of having gone through this regional process is that everyone is sort of on the same page, at least from a framework perspective, right? So none of this will be surprising to any of these adjacent basins, right? When VINA wants to pursue this with the North Sac Valley Group, they all know what that means, right? What the North Sac Valley Group is, and what these different components are, which are represented here in the A through D of this pillar. There's another activity that is going to be happening, and that is in the Tehama County consultant. One of the things that we did at the beginning was we wanted to understand what funding everyone had available and how they might be able to leverage funding. And throughout this process, because projects and management actions are joint actions that could have a regional significance, that was also identified as something that the region could start working on, or at least start compiling all of the different PMAs and taking a look at them and seeing which of those actions neighbors might want to pursue together, or the region might want to actually leverage some funding and pursue together. So that once everybody's PMAs are, made available in draft chapters, the consultant in Tehama is the Tehama County consultant. That's Ludor Scolmanini Consulting Engineers, will be compiling all of those. And the and staff from the various sub-basins will start to look at those, right? So everyone understands the importance of this work and doesn't want to delay. I think there's just a realization that it's going to take time, right? And so those activities will begin, and PMAs are going to be compiled in the coming months. And then there will be a discussion among staff members. And then let's also remember that the VINA Stakeholder Advisory Committee, your charter states, and I think the commitment has been made because your charter was approved by the VINA GSA board, that the SHAC will continue and be a part of implementation. It's not as if the SHAC's not going to go away after GSP development. And so these will be ongoing conversations that the VINA GSA will have with the SHAC. Christina, any corrections you want to make or any modifications to anything I've said there?
Yeah, no, that's good.
Jim Brobeck?
I'm concerned that these analyses seem to be delayed until the GSPs have been fully formulated and adopted by the various agencies. And I know there's information out there available already. I know that the Interbasin Coordination Group has been meeting for well over a year now and had an opportunity to compare some of the differences, uncertainties, and potential issues of concern. But I haven't seen a clear documentation of what these differences, uncertainties, and issues of concern are. And as I think they would be very valuable to help us as we move forward in creating our GSP. to have an idea of what we're looking at rather than waiting for everything to be established and set up, catalyzed and set in stone, so to speak, and have to wait for a 5-year update. So I know there's information out there that's available that can identify some of these things. Is anybody compiling these? Is anybody discussing this in the interbasin coordination groups? Or the interbasin coordination group just meeting to discuss process?
Yeah, since January, the interbasin coordination group conversation shifted to process because we realized that, you know what, these plans are going to get adopted, you know, in less than a year, and there's a whole lot of work to do between now and then, and just the capacity, staff, consultant, public, frankly, too, to digest our own plans, you know, and neighboring plans is just too much. So, and I think that the idea also is that really we need on these boundaries matter and what's going on across the boundaries matter. But first we need to understand our each, you know, to the extent that we can get the best available information, document it, analyze it, and adopt a GSP. I think that it's actually a good process to have that happen on the sub-basin level, recognizing that they're not set in stone plans, that they're really the first cut at, you know, from the water budget standpoint to the even the SMCs, that these things are adaptive plans. And so, you know, we carve it out at the sub-basin level, and then that gives us a good place to start. Continue from. We aren't just starting there, because like you said, we have poked around at these issues a little bit already, but there just was not the ability, nor I think we decided the need really to dive into that at that point for successful adoption of GSPs, you know, for each sub-basin. And we may disagree there, but that is how it's landed, and it has switched gears to, okay, what activities and conversations, and how should those conversations happen over the implementation to be able to do these things on the technical level and sum up the technical pieces that are so important.
If we make modifications, we have to wait 5 years. Is my understanding correct on that? Or how rapidly can the adaptive management occur? Do we have to wait for a 5-year update?
No, so we'll have annual reporting, right? So there's some just annual looking at our SMCs related to our monitoring and how you're filling your data gaps and all of that. That's an annual basis. I think the GSPs can be updated by the GSA at any time. From DWR's perspective, we have to submit a GSP update every 5 years for DWR review. I don't know, Tanya, is there any correction or clarification to that? So it can be dynamic.
That's accurate. Mm-hmm. Jim, any other follow-up before we go to Bruce?
I guess I'm just going to have to pay more attention to what the other GSAs are doing and try to tap all the information that they're presenting, since it's not being compiled at the interbasin coordination group level, compiled and summarized for the shack. I'm disappointed, but I guess I'll start doing some more homework and find out where the discrepancies are and where the uncertainties are and what the potential issues of concern might be prior to adoption and formulation of our GSP.
So there is an ongoing attempt to compile this information, right? Because as I said, there's a realization among staff that this is a long-term project, interbasin coordination. However, we are compiling the different SMCs, right, as they become available. And like with that modeling output table that we made public, the SMCs will be put together. I've already described that the PMAs, there is going to be over the next several months an attempt to compile all of those. So the work is continuing. It will continue after the submittal of the GSPs as well. I don't know if that helps, Jim, but just to let you know that that's what's been going on.
And then, can I add something here too? I think that we also came into this with the ideal of what we wanted, and then we faced, as Christina mentioned, the reality of staff capacity and time and funding and all of those things. So we wanted to create a structure that could be ensure that these conversations are ongoing. But I empathize, Jim. I wish we could be able to provide all of this information to you today. We just did what we could in this moment.
Well, the technical information sharing template does describe the different modeling tools. But when I read it, I don't see that it provides details that illustrate the critical discrepancies that could identify adverse impacts.
That work hasn't been done yet. What you're seeing is a complete rendering of the work that, you know, that has been done to date. And there's much more work to come. Let's go on to Bruce. We do have just half an hour left on this for us to discuss this, and we do want to get through all of the pillars and make sure that we have a clear direction from the SHAC, given where we are in this process, so that that can be accurately communicated to the VINA GSA board. Bruce?
Yeah, I read 60 pages so far in the Tuscan Water District paperwork, which has some good information. And one of the things, it talked about things that were exempt from CEQA and then things that were not exempt. And it mentioned implementation as being not exempt. So my question to Christina is, and I'm guessing here, that there are different types of implementation. And I don't expect you to go into great deal towards this, but when I read plan and implementation, that to me is different than actually implementing a plan. So if you could just, I don't want this to drag on for anybody, but are there different levels of implementation and which ones are not exempt from CEQA, I guess is my question. Thank you.
So part of implementation are doing projects or management actions, right? So each of those, if you were actually going to implement a project or a management action, I think you'd have to go through the CEQA checklist of whether, you know, it CEQA is relevant or not, essentially. This type of work would be a study. So CEQA isn't relevant, you know, it's not a project. But basically any kind of action or activity that is part of plan implementation, it really comes back to the CEQA law of whether, you know, it applies or not.
You know, I know we're short on time, but I really want to weigh in on that.
The
2020 DWR groundwater plan, as well as Governor Newsom's water reliability inventory, all have as an intention to streamline environmental review process. And during years like this, and we may have multiple years like this, projects are exempt from CEQA because of the emergency proclamation. So I'm very concerned that projects can move forward without detailed CEQA analysis under current conditions and under what I think we're going to have in future conditions. So I'm very concerned about that. And I don't rely on CEQA to be protecting the environment or stakeholders in the future because of the intention of DWR and others to streamline the process. Thanks for taking that comment.
Bruce, did you have a follow-up here? Because your hand is still up.
Sorry, I've got to remember to
no
take
worries.
My hand down. Thank you.
Let's go to pillar number 3, Christina, and then I think we'll sort of roll this all up at the end.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good. Okay, so pillar number 3, you know, at a high level, recognizes that as part of implementation, we're all going to be doing different things related to data gaps and projects. And so it's this kind of big idea of coordinate on mutually beneficial activities. And then the sub bullets are a little bit more specific. So communicate, coordinate, and collaborate on mutually beneficial activities, which could include joint monitoring, joint reporting, regional modeling, and other efforts to address data gaps at sub-basin boundaries. Secondly, collectively pursue funding and collaborate on mutually agreed upon projects and management actions. And Tanya talked a little bit about how that's, you know, going to get an early jump start, even during GSP development, that provide benefits across boundaries. And third, leverage existing collaboratives. So Northern Sacramento Valley Integrated Regional Water Management Program, NACWA, Northern California Water Agencies, you know, there are these groups and others, you know, that are recognizing projects and monitoring data gaps. And to the degree that there's shared need or an advantage of saying, hey, we have, you know, we have all of these different holes in our 4 or 5 subbasin area for additional well installation. Maybe that gets kind of rolled up into a regional project for, you know, efficiency of administration and pursuit of funding from DWR, either through grant funding or technical support services or whatnot. So those are just examples of what this could mean. But the more kind of we do information sharing, I think the more opportunity there is for saying, oh, hey, we're both saying that we want to do X, Y, Z. Are there advantages to collaborating and coordinating on that effort? So the recommendation here for how to characterize that for the Vina Subbasin would be to work collaboratively with, again, this broader regional group, the North Sac Valley Corridor Subbasins, to identify items in our GSPs that are ripe for a coordinated project in pursuit of funding. This could include projects and management actions, also data gaps, such as new monitoring wells or stream gauging. And the Vina Subbasin will pursue grant funding to support a consultant to conduct this work. And Vina Subbasin will work collaboratively with NACWA in their efforts to pursue funding and support local and state agency activities to identify and fill regional data gaps. So welcome discussion or input on, are you happy with this kind of framed up recommendation, or do you want to see something different?
I appreciate that you have given some good examples of what we might consider. And so I would appreciate a list of ones that you and others have come up so that we can consider them more in more detail, because I want to get informed on how we can have some of these mutual beneficial activities, which ones are available out there, which ones other people are doing. So if staff could provide Shaq with a list of the ones that you've thought of, you've come up with a pretty good list there. And I'm sorry, I wasn't taking notes on them, but I'm very interested in, this sounds like a really positive way to coordinate mutually beneficial activities.
Yeah, I think just as an example, I think the data gaps topic is probably one of those areas that's really ripe. And like, as an example, the Butte Subbasin, you know, is identifying, you know, specific areas where shallow monitoring wells might be recommended, you know, to better characterize the shallow zone and relative to both streams and the GDEs. And so if those types of maps are present in, you know, Butte GSP and also Colusa GSP, Vina GSP, being able to kind of roll those out and take a look at them collectively. And like I said, we're just all trying to get draft plans for public review. So it is going to have to happen to some degree, although I know there is some, you know, conversation between consultants just in comparing things earlier on. But I think that's a good example of, you know, mutually beneficial activity of what's the best way to go about, you know, getting as many wells as possible and getting that funded and streamlining the administration of a project or a program like that.
And of course, identifying how the lower Tuscan aquifer is recharged and what we can do to preserve that recharge capacity is something that is of interest across these boundaries. And it's my understanding that the lower Tuscan is recharged on our side of the valley. And so activities on this side of the valley are mutually beneficial for all these basins, these four basins that you've got circled here.
Yeah, certainly to the degree that we sustainably manage things in Fina Subbasin that, you know, will maintain or improve conditions, you know, of groundwater flow to the Butte Subbasin.
And to Colusa and to Corning Subbasin. All of them are tapping the Deep Tuscan now.
So I'm not seeing any other hands. Aside from Jim, your interest in really seeing a clearer list, more detail, it seems like you're comfortable with the framing up of this recommendation for the Vina GSA board. Is that accurate, Jim? Thank you. Greg? Henry?
On the slide you have up now, where you have Vina Subbasin will pursue grant funding. And then the next one down, Vina Subbasin will work collaboratively. I think Vina Subbasin, possibly with others, will pursue grant funding, not just limited to Vina Subbasin. And then Vina Subbasin will work collaboratively, may work collaboratively with NACWA, with entities such as NACWA. Don't limit it just NACWA. I don't want to see it limited here if there's somebody else that we can, you know, work with or wants to work with us or other sub-basins that want to work with us. So I just don't want to say it's just Vina Subbasin and the top one or just NACWA in the next bullet there.
Yes, with partners, partnerships for grant funding. Greg, those are really good suggestions to sort of expand this and to not limit who you collaborate with and to make it clear that the Vina Subbasin would pursue partnerships to do this, you know, in-depth and pretty expansive work that has implications for not just the Vina Subbasin, but for other neighbors.
Yes.
Those very good suggestions. Thank you, Greg. Any other thoughts, like with Greg, where you'd like to see some modifications to the proposed recommendation? Okay, I'm not seeing any. Thank you for recording those, Christina, in red. That'll make it easier for us to roll this all up when we talk about the outcomes. Let's go on to pillar number four.
Okay, pillar number four is about coordinated communication and outreach. And this is coordinate and collaborate on regional scale public engagement and communication strategies that promote awareness on groundwater sustainability, enhance public trust, and maintain institutional knowledge. And secondly, maintain list of GSP subbasin staff contacts and websites. So this is really, and again, this type of work has been done and supported through in part through, you know, IRWM. And so it's recognizing, you know, that there's a long-term opportunity and need that our subbasins, kind of like irrigated lands, you know, sometimes there's an opportunity, although it can be very specific in how it's being implemented. Having regional public meetings can be really helpful to, you know, as a central location, recognizing that landowners often find themselves in multiple subbasins. So, you know, coordinating with staff and with neighboring subbasins to when the time is right, you know, push out information on a more regional scale or hold public meetings in that regard. So the recommendation here would be that Vina GSA staff will continue to participate in regional public engagement activities and efforts related to implementation of SGMA in the Northern Sacramento Valley. Anything on this one?
Jim Brobeck?
I have to voice some concern about the repeated mention of NACWA as being an agency that that we're going to use for communication, outreach, and funding, because some of the goals of NACWA are goals that have to do with conjunctive use and water banking and other other aspects of water management that prioritize surface water, senior surface water purveyors. And there, in my opinion, there's some controversy associated with some of the policies of NACWA that are not in line with the general public. So I don't know why NACWA is repeated twice in these pillars when, you know, it's appropriate certainly that the North Sac Valley IRWM is, because that's open to public process. But NACWA is kind of like a private lobbying organization, if I'm not mistaken. And so I'm a little uneasy about having NACWA embedded in our interbasin coordination group literature here.
Mm-hmm. And Christina, is the reason that they're named here is because they are, the region wants to ensure that there aren't duplicative efforts, right? Because they're doing some work on their own, right? Could you give us a little bit more information about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, it's important to recognize too, right, that this is a regional conversation that this came out of, and there are many GSAs that are members, that are irrigation districts or water districts, you know, that are members. And as counties, we are involved in some of the lines of communication of NACWA. We're a member of NACWA, Butte County is. And so just recognizing it as a place that information is shared and communication and coordination has occurred and could occur in the future. You know, they develop informational flyers and handouts. And so it may be an organization, you know, that can continue to provide resources on this topic, you know, communication outreach in the North Sac Valley. I appreciate your comment, Jim, but I think that's where it's coming from.
Well, you know that I'm very wary of artificial recharge projects and the legal and geological consequences of them. And NACWA is a strong supporter of water banking. So for them to be coordinating our communication efforts unsettles me, to say the least.
And so because NACWA isn't named in the actual recommendation, but is identified in the just sort of the pillars, the framework, maybe it's just important for us to articulate that, you know, this concern has come forward, right? But it does not appear directly in the recommendation itself.
I don't quite get your point. It is or it isn't in the recommendation.
So it's in the recommendation for number three. It is called out in number three, but in number for pillar number four, like for the site, what I'm recommending for the VINA GSP, it doesn't mention NACWA as being part of this pillar.
For coordinated communication and outreach, yeah. It is not, NACWA is not included in the recommendation. And with Greg's suggested change on pillar number three, you'll notice that it just indicates, here's an example, such entities as NACWA, right. And others.
And it can broaden it beyond NACWA.
It broadens
so,
it, yeah.
You know, I held my tongue on that one, but on pillar number four, I would really appreciate not having NACWA as being one of our main consultants or supporters or funders of communication and outreach until we resolve all the issues surrounding artificial recharge.
And that's consistent banking. With the recommendation. It's not being put forward that way.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Samantha Lewis.
Yeah, we've just had a lot of public engagement about the lack of transparency this past year on the meetings that are occurring to put together a framework like this. I think that this would be an opportunity in pillar number four to make a point that it would not just be GSA staff, but a GSA board member would be involved in these activities to open up the meetings to public involvement and engagement. And I don't want our staff to take offense to my comments. I believe that the mistrust is in the staff of our neighbors and just the intent and previous experiences. So please, Christina and everyone, this is not meant as an insult to you, but I believe that we do need transparency on the other side. So to make that our intention, and hopefully others will follow suit.
Samantha, I appreciate you bringing this up, because definitely this concern has been brought up several times. And so by making a suggestion that a GSA board member or both board members could be involved does help to address that concern and foster the transparency and communications as Christina has noted here on this. So thank you for that suggestion. Any other discussion of pillar number four before we go on to five? Okay, let's go there then, Christina.
Okay, number five is the issue resolution process. So in the framework, it says establish and follow an agreed upon process for identifying and resolving conflicts between GSAs by the first five-year update. And the report includes Appendix D, which has more details and discussion about kind of what the spectrum of issue resolution processes could be or look like, you know, from relatively general to much more specific. And so that could be a resource, you know, for developing that neighboring GSAs or subbasins could use in pursuing the development of an issue resolution process. So this is, you know, identified in the framework as being something that could be developed on a neighbor-to-neighbor basis or on a coordination group basis. So this is a good, I left the recommendation pretty wide open. I'm looking for your thoughts and input. Should this be pursued with, you know, a specific issue resolution process between Vina and the Los Molinos subbasin, between Vina and Corning, between Vina and Butte, all of the above? So the recommendation, Vina subbasin will pursue, how should this be characterized in the GSP? Do we want to say Vina subbasin will pursue development of an issue resolution process with a specific subbasin or with all of them? Or what? This is a discussion question for the SHAC's input.
Yes, what are your thoughts on this, Jim?
I would like to see Colusa subbasin included in this. They're tapping, there's entities in the Colusa subbasin that are tapping the shared aquifer. And a description of the process for identifying and resolving conflicts between agencies as outlined in Appendix D in this Northern Sacramento Valley Interbasin Coordination Report, the key questions and considerations for issue resolution process worksheet that was copied from, I imagine these are lawyers, Moran, Martinez, and Bloomquist, they do ask the right questions. And I know you don't have that up on the screen right now, but I read that worksheet and they do ask the right questions. But apparently the Interbasin Coordination Group has not considered the answers to fill in the empty boxes provided by the worksheet. I would like to get an idea of that. And the draft dispute resolution clause doesn't label legally binding legal adjudication of dispute clearly enough.
So Appendix D is something of a framework, again, that could be used to develop that issue resolution process. You know, as we discovered with the development of coordination agreements or the joint powers agreements that formed the GSAs, these are sort of, these take some time. You know, in every case, when we were figuring out in the Butte subbasin what coordination should look like in the Vina subbasin, which ultimately led to the formation of a JPA and then an MOU with a separate GSA. Those are, efforts that take 18 months to 2 years. And we found across the state and in some shape or form, I've been involved in about 20, 21 sub-basins across the state. We found that these kinds of conversations take time. And so we've done the work of sort of creating an appendix, as you see here on the screen, that could help guide those conversations, give you a basis for those conversations. And yes, those questions would need to be answered. And those are researchers, not lawyers, from Stanford University, that we've looked at their research, and we feel that it's most relevant here. So that's what you see. This is something that could be taken and used for a longer conversation to get to an agreement. So with that, I think the question now is, what would you like in the GSP? Do you think it's important? I mean, something that is important for the Vina GSA board to hear from you is, if you think that it is important to pursue an issue resolution process, that's one thing, you know, it would be helpful to hear that. And then for us to hear who you think that issue resolution process, with whom should the Vina GSA develop a voluntary interbasin coordination agreement, essentially, or an issue resolution process. So how should this look? Jim, do you think it should be with all of the neighbors and Calusa?
Yes, I think it should have all of the neighbors. And while I definitely support communication, mediation, consultation, and trying to work agreements out outside of the court, I noticed that Appendix D judiciously avoids the term adjudication, which from my many years of being involved in water policy, I know that water directors really do not like the term adjudication, but adjudication is a necessary process when powerful players are wrestling for control of a resource. So I want to see the term legal adjudication in there somewhere as a final solution or a final part of the process, not just a kind of a loose description of some sort of legal process. I mean, I don't need to remind staff and the Interbasin Coordination Group that water litigation is a hardball game that requires tenacious and well-planned advocacy. And I know that water districts have very well-planned, tenacious advocacy in place, ready to roll. And I'm also concerned about conflict with those that aren't participating in the Interbasin Coordination Group. And I believe that the Glen Clouse Irrigation District is not actually directly participating in the IGC. And it has recent and longstanding history of neglecting to consult with or inform the Vina GSA or the Butte County Water Resource Conservation District of controversial groundwater pumping programs until these groups were informed of it by people who are keeping track of that kind of thing. So I want to make sure that in our conflict resolution process, we have language in there that indicates that we will tenaciously and with good planning and good staff advocate for the health of our aquifer system through adjudication if necessary.
So within the appendix, you would like to see in the full spectrum of what issue resolution looks like to make it clear that yes, there is a spectrum that goes from a very informal collaboration, mediation, arbitration, all the way to litigation, which could lead to adjudication.
Right, but the Appendix D stops at litigation. It doesn't use the term adjudication, and it has particular legal meaning that I want to make sure that that our neighbors know that we're willing to go there if necessary. At least I am, and I would push for that. And I would be surprised if other water users in the Vina Subbasin would not be willing to aggressively defend ourselves through adjudication if necessary. So I think adjudication, the term adjudication needs to be in there. It carries with a particular weight that litigation isn't clear on.
Okay, thank you for clarifying what you would like to see. Greg, and then David. Greg Salmery.
First of all, in the recommendation, the bullet says recommendation by the subbasin. I think it should say within the NORSAC River Corridor Group, which you had on slide number 4.
So you're suggesting that, okay, so this is our plan though. So we have to describe what the Vina Subbasin is intending to do.
We just did in number 4 up there. We had the NORSAC River Corridor Group. That's who we were going to be sharing information with. So wouldn't you have the same thing here on this?
So let me just clarify. So you're suggesting that the Vina Subbasin would pursue development of an issue resolution process
with
the North Sac Valley Group. Okay.
Okay. Understood.
Thanks.
And then I disagree with having adjudication in there. I think this right now is we're trying to work together. And I think that's one thing that's going to drive all of these entities apart. If we start trying to say we're going to go to legal adjudication because we don't like you. I don't think we should have that in there right now. If we get to adjudication, we can do that later, and it's going to be a long time later, but I don't want to see that in this agreement. I think it's just going to split things apart.
Well, that's one of the reasons, Greg, that I spent the time explaining what our experience has been with negotiating these sorts of agreements. They take time. And they, even those folks who say, we should be able to do this in 6 months to a year, almost every case, it takes 18 to 24 months. And these are the kinds of conversations about what you would actually want in those agreements. I mean, I think that's the time to have those conversations, realizing that it's going to take some time, it's going to require negotiation with adjacent basins and other GSAs to figure out what is mutually agreeable language to include. So I would just encourage folks to understand that what we're saying is, in that appendix, that the full spectrum of legal remedies would be available to you, and you would need to negotiate that in a separate process. We're not negotiating that here. So right. I would encourage you to not get too tangled up around that language.
I don't want another subbasin to come in to the Vina Subbasin and start threatening us. I don't think that's going to get us anywhere. Not with what we're trying to accomplish with these pillars. So, thank you.
Thank you, Greg. David?
I agree with Greg on the North Sac River Corridor Group. I think that's the call, even though we may not be, our boundaries may not be touching. We don't have exact clarity on the subsurface geology as well. And then as far as the idea of an issue resolution process, again, I think Greg is on with having an issue resolution process is sort of showing enough that, hey, we have this here, we're not leaving it unspoken, but I don't think we should get into the weeds as far as exact legal measures that we would take. So those are my comments.
Okay, thank you. And Greg, did you have a follow-up? Or is that an old hand? Let me go to Bruce.
It looks like we agree to disagree. I'm more in line with Jim, and I read that as an agreement should include legal adjudication as a, and I'm going to underline this several times, possible pursuit of the Vina Subbasin. And that ties into implementation is whether CEQA backs this up or not, At some point, if somebody doesn't do what they need to do, there is always the possibility of going to court. I've been involved in some of these groundwater things for 25 or so years, as have other people here. Those things that are left out in the beginning of these discussions eventually come back and shut things down. So I don't see any problem with saying that something's a possible pursuit. And when I'm reading different write-ups by different organizations, there's no question in my mind that they've sat down with some very, very good attorneys to prepare for whatever's coming. I don't think this is a shock that legal adjudication is a possibility. So that's just my take on it. And I totally respect each other person's belief in this. I know, as having a couple of rentals, I watch law like a hawk, and I attempt at all times to stay out of court. Don't like to go there, would prefer to avoid things. And so I look at this the same way. This is not going to come as a shock to anybody. Everybody knows it. And again, I'll emphasize this. There are some darn good attorneys out there advising different people. So anyway, thank you.
Okay. Thanks for that, Bruce. Okay. We're running short on time, and I do want to go ahead and do a roll call on these, rolling all of them up. So any final thoughts here to conclude the presentation, Christina, before we do that?
No, I don't think so. I think I would maybe request, because there's been some disagreement around that, whether, you know, that statement wants to be put, you know, kind of as an intention now in the context of describing what issue resolution processes might be pursued in the GSP. I think it'd be helpful to have maybe two recommendation calls, one that kind of rolls up the other pieces, and then one that touches that one more directly, this issue more directly.
That's a good suggestion. I think that I have a sense that we have a good amount of even consensus on these other pillars, but let me just go ahead and do a quick roll call on these. So for the information sharing pillar, really the recommendation here is that we want to make sure that there is consistent language, and we know who would be responsible for doing this information sharing. I think that was the only thing that David identified in terms of clarifying it's the GSA or GSA staff. Mm-hmm. So let me do a roll call on this. VINA GSA staff will work with a GSA staff of neighboring sub-basins to identify lines of communication and methods for information sharing. Just going to go down the list. Do you support this recommendation, Greg?
Yes.
Samantha?
I would add a GSA board member as well.
So I think the idea here is that staff identify lines of communication, and then those ideas of what that communication might look like would go to advisory committees and boards, and then, you know, it would be established, but that would be known, you know. I think identifying the possibilities, that staff work, but deciding, I do kind of feel like there's no decision here in terms of, and then actually do it, right? And then actually conduct information sharing. And that certainly would involve boards, board members and members of the public and advisory committees. Does that make sense?
Oh, well then maybe clarify that into the language here so that it's more clear. Then I could agree.
Yeah, identify the lines of communication, methods for information sharing that would be agreed upon or decided by the respective board, something like that. Does that sort of get to it, Samantha?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Gary Cole?
Yes, I agree with Samantha's recommendations included.
Thank you. Jim Brobeck?
I agree with Samantha. I'm willing to confirm this with her recommendation.
Thank you. Bruce Smith?
Same. I agree with Samantha and would go for this.
Thank you, David. Keen?
Yes, with modifications.
Chris Madden?
Yes, with the modifications.
And Greg, let me go back to you since the modification was made after you weighed in. Do you support what the modification here?
That'd be great.
Thank you, Greg. Okay, and moving on to pillar number two and going to the recommendation. The recommendation is that the Vinda Sub-Basin intends to pursue funding and collaboratively work with sub-basins in the North Sacramento River Corridor to do these four things. The conversation, within our conversation, we talked about the importance of specifying the importance of the regional scale and the Colusa Sub-Basin as a relevant neighbor, and also felt that it would be important to reference the AEM work. Christina, do you have some suggestions right now? Do you think we should just leave it as such, or do you want to make suggestions for how you'd roll that up into the language?
Yeah, I think that this is the recommendation, and then the narrative around this, you know, recommendation of pursuing funding with this group, you know, at this scale, would just have a little bit of a description of why, you know, that's the appropriate scale. And it could certainly, you know, reference AEM as a data source for, you know, why our understanding is that it's relevant to a group, you know, at this scale.
Okay, thank you for that. And let's see if you support this recommendation with the explanation that Christina just gave. Going to you, Chris Madden.
Yes, I support.
David Keene.
Yes.
Bruce Smith.
Yes.
Jim Brobeck.
I support it as long as there is a report of whatever agreements and disagreements there are between the different joint analysis and evaluation. I imagine they're not going to be total agreement across the board. And as a member of the SHAC, I want to be fully aware of where those different evaluation discrepancies occur.
Thank you, Jim. We will note it as such. Gary Poole?
I support it, but I have a question in terms of, do we need to mention Butte? Butte is not mentioned anywhere within this, and they are a member on the corridor, but they don't. The river and Vina don't come exactly together with Butte.
Butte is yes, go ahead.
Yeah, so Butte would be included, both as a member of the Sac River Corridor group because of that shared Sac River system, but then also as a neighbor actually to the south there. Okay. So yeah.
I support.
Thank you, Gary. Samantha?
I support. I would like a little more clarification on how frequently the consultant would then be reporting back to the GSA board on their progress and the work that they're doing. So that's my only hesitancy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. We'll note that, Samantha. And then Greg.
I can support this.
Okay, thank you, Greg. Pillar number three, I'm sorry, I know we're at 3 o'clock. We'll just try to do this as quickly as possible here. Pillar number three, the recommendation on the next slide.
Sorry,
as you see here, a recommendation is to work collaboratively with the North Sacramento Valley Corridor sub-basins to identify items in our GSPs that are ripe for a coordinated project and pursuit of funding. The Vina Sub-Basin will pursue partnerships to obtain grant funding to support a consultant to conduct this work. And Vina Sub-Basin will work collaboratively with entities such as NACWA in their efforts to pursue funding and support local and state agency activities to identify and fill regional data gaps. Going to you, Greg, do you support this recommendation? Greg?
Yes.
Thank you, Samantha.
Yes.
Gary.
Yes.
Jim?
I'm assuming that any joint projects would have to pass through the board and not through the Interbasin Coordination Group. Is that correct? I mean, if there's a project that we want to pursue in coordination with our neighbors, this would be decided both by the organizers of the IGC, but also the board would have to confirm it, correct? I mean, we wouldn't get dragged into something that we don't want.
Any sort of grant application is going to go, you know, need approval by the VINA DSA board for if it's a grant that we're going after. Yeah.
I support this.
Thank you, Jim. Bruce?
I support this.
David?
Yes.
Chris?
I support.
Thank you, Chris. Pillar number four.
All right. Number four.
Number four, going back.
Oops, sorry, that's number five. Okay, number four. So communication. Yeah, VINA GSA staff will continue to participate in regional public engagement activities and efforts related to the implementation of SGMA in the North Sac Valley. And that discussion could, you know, include describing how GSA board members and fostering transparency of communications would be included in that effort.
Thank you, Greg. Do you support this recommendation?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Gary?
I would, except for the word NACWA, which has proven to be not the friends of all groundwater users in the past.
Yes, and NACWA is not named in this recommendation. It is included as an example in the framework, but the recommendation for the VINA GSA does not include NACWA here. Jim Brobeck?
I think I understand what you're saying. You know, I see NACWA in this list, but I suppose what's underneath the underneath the box is what's going to be listed. Okay, thank you. I support it.
Thanks. Thank you, Jim. Bruce?
I support it.
David?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Thank you, Chris. And so we're going to take two questions here on pillar number five. Looking at pillar number five, I'm going to call this recommendation here, the VINA Subbasin will pursue development of an issue resolution process with the North Sacramento River Corridor Group. And then I'm going to sort of ask you this question about what the issue resolution, the agreement about including legal adjudication as a possible pursuit. But let's keep that separate for the moment. So the recommendation for us to pursue issue resolution, or for VINA to pursue issue resolution with the North Sacramento Valley Group. Greg?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes, but I did like the language that the Butte Subbasin Cooperation Agreement included about having an actual advisory board with member directors from each subbasin. And then that way I would feel we've addressed the public's concern about transparency that a GSC board member would be involved.
Okay, thank you for that. Gary Cole?
Yes.
Jim Brobeck?
Yes.
Bruce Smith?
Yes, and I agree with Samantha.
David Keene?
Yes.
Chris Manning?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Chris. And then the last question I want to ask is, because it seems as if there may have been some diversity of opinions here, we want to ask if an agreement should include at least a legal adjudication as a possible pursuit of the VINA subbasin. So once you get to the formation of an issue resolution agreement, you would like it to include legal adjudication as a possible pursuit for the VINA subbasin. Starting with Chris Madden, do you support this recommendation?
Yes.
David Keene?
No.
Bruce Smith?
Yes.
Jim Brobeck?
Yes, but I want to emphasize it's not something to be put in bold letters and underlined. It's just one word in there after legal actions or whatever, the existing language. I just want to make sure the word's in there, not highlighted.
Okay, understood. Thank you, Jim. But you support its inclusion. Gary Cole?
Yes.
Samantha Lewis?
I guess I would need Valerie Kincaid to weigh in on this, because if we don't include this language, does that mean we're waiving our right to pursue that in the future? I guess I'm thinking from the standpoint of 55,000 acre feet that GCID is developing this year. If we were to go with the current framework that the Stanford study came out with about negotiation, coordination groups, mediation, and then legal remedies, we're looking at maybe 10 years and over 500,000 acre feet of water later at 10 times 55,000. So I would like to have some input from Valerie Kincaid, and then maybe water down the language and just say any legal remedy instead of just specifically legal adjudication.
Thank you, Samantha, for that suggestion. And of course, this will be noted in the summary or the notes to the VINA GSA board, and they may agree that they would like to have Valerie weigh in on this very question. So thank you for noting that. And Greg Sonry?
No, I don't want it in there, but I can agree with what Samantha just said. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, thank you. All right, Bruce Smith, your hand is up. Is that an old hand? Okay. Christina, do you need any additional information from the SHAC to be able to go to the VINA GSA board, or do you have clarity on from what we've discussed today?
Yep, no, I think we're good. This has been really helpful, and we'll take your input to the board, and they'll provide direction on what they want to see in the draft GSP. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. And so because we are over time, I would just say to any of the VINA GSA Management Committee members, is there anything critical that you would like to share with the SHAC today? Any critical report out?
I think I'll just mention the VINA boards, the joint boards will be meeting next week and to talk about PMAs and get an update on the implementation chapter, including this discussion. Do want to mention that you may be aware that the Tuscan Water District application is available through LAFCO website and will be a discussion item at this month's SHAC meeting. And then the VINA GSA board will discuss it in September. So that is an upcoming item.
I will also add that on the VINA GSA website and the library links, there is a link to the Tuscan Water District application there for easy reference. And then I also just added links to the neighboring GSA website. So I know if anybody wants to look and see where they're at in their process, it's hopefully a little easier to access.
Thank you, Cami. Okay, and then just finally, Linda, you're on mute. Did you have something? Yeah.
Sorry, this is Christina. You left before we talked about, but Kelly and I were talking about the Tuscan Water District, and we're thinking that it won't necessarily be on the agenda because it's a joint meeting. It's kind of funky as a reports and communication item, because that's all it would have been. So we're going to just go ahead and send out the email to everybody that it's available, just like you just announced at this meeting, but we will likely have it will go to the board at the next meeting. It just won't be listed on the agenda for this month's meeting, the August meeting. It'll likely be a closed session item in the September meeting for the Tuscan Water District item. Just doing one, you know, people say if they see the agenda, it's really not going to be on there for this month. It's going to be next month.
Okay, thank you, Linda. All right, and the last thing I'll say here, Shaq Member.
Oh, wait, I've got one thing to announce. Since we're talking about the Tuscan Water District, the Tuscan Water District proponents are giving a presentation at the Water Commission meeting on Wednesday, and they're asking for the Water Commission to support it and send the recommendation of support to the Board of Supervisors. So anybody who is concerned about the Tuscan Water District, about the anti-democratic aspects of it and the groundwater banking aspects of it should look at the agenda for the Water Commission meeting and plan to zoom in to the Water Commission if they have any strong opinions on it, because the Water Commission's opinion carries a lot of weight in the supervisor chamber. That's this Wednesday. Thank you.
Thank you for that announcement, Jim. And the final announcement is just, of course, that we have our regular SHAC meeting that will take place on August 17th at our usual time. We are meeting from 9 to 12:30. Thank you all. I really appreciate your extra time both today and also for this special meeting. I look forward to seeing you at the next SHAC meeting. Thank you all. Have a good rest.